the book of Acts. We're going to continue at least with the same subject of what we were dealing with this morning. And I want to preach tonight about the subject that we dealt with this morning. We talked about how that we have help in the Christian race. Last Sunday, we dealt with two different messages that we preached on our helper. We talked about the Spirit of God as our helper in the Christian race. Remember, we went through a whole entire series in the midst of this opening series here for our year of pressing on. We went through a series of messages about hindrances in the race, but now we've shifted gears and we're talking about some helps that we have in the race. And so the Spirit of God. And then this morning we talked about the house of God, the help that we have from this place that we're sitting in tonight. And we talked this morning about the house of God. And what ought to be true about a church? We said this morning that one of the things that we ought to see in church is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. We ought to see in a church the preaching of the gospel. There ought to be a priority when it comes to souls. We want to see souls come to trust Christ as their Savior. That's why we're here. That's why we exist, to spread the gospel and to see folks come to Christ. And then we talked about the provision that God has for the saints as well, provision that He has for believers, that all of these things that we find in the local church. So the Spirit of God is our helper, and the house of God is our helper as well. And I wanted to go to Acts, because I want to talk in Acts. I want you to find chapter 11 of the book of Acts, and a message that I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart for this evening, to talk about the way that God worked through the church here in the book of Acts, the early church, the early New Testament church that, by the way, we desire to pattern our church after, the early New Testament church. And we understand that we're living in a day where many churches are going away from this, but we want to pattern our church after this early New Testament church that we see here in the book of Acts. Some background, I guess, or we'll say it this way, a timeline through the book of Acts that leads us to Acts chapter number 11. And as we go through this little timeline, just kind of giving some reminders by way of a review here for the book of Acts that you've read, I'm certain, many times in your Christian life, I want to give you a timeline here that leads us up to Acts chapter number 11. And what we're going to notice in this timeline is this: God's working in the local church. But what I really want us to see as we go through this tonight, I want us to picture what we're seeing in Acts throughout the book of Acts, and then as we key in on Acts chapter number 11, I want us to look at the way that God works through the local church, and I want us to understand that He can still do this today. He still desires to do this in our local church here at Victory Baptist Church here in Boonesboro. He desires to do this with us. And so we talked this morning about how the local church is our helper in this race. The house of God is our helper. And we're to be faithful to assemble at this place that's going to help us. And then we want to talk about God's working through His church. And we want to see God do these things in our lives and through our church as well. So in Acts chapter number 11, where we're going to begin, we're going to read some verses here in just a little bit. But kind of a timeline to review all this, if we would go back to Acts chapter 1, and we'll stay in Acts 11 because that's where we're going to read. But if we would go back to Acts chapter number 1, we would know that shortly before the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, He left His disciples with a command, didn't He? And He said that they were to be His witnesses. We brought that up this morning. And so this is a command that God has given to His disciples and the local church. So before I go to heaven, before I ascend into heaven, I've given you this command that you are to be witnesses unto Me, He says. And that's to spread through our local area and then into our city, our county, our state, our country, and our world, isn't it? The command that God has given us there in the book of Acts. And then when we get to Acts chapter 2, again, just leading us up to Acts chapter number 11, we see the first church that is formed here that begins in the city of Jerusalem. And this was on the day of Pentecost. Remember, we would get down to the end of Acts chapter number 2 after they have stood up and after they have preached the gospel. Remember, over 3,000 souls come to know Christ and they're added to the church followed the Lord in baptism and added to the church, over 3,000 souls, and that early church begins. And then when we go through the chapters after the beginning of that church there in the city of Jerusalem, we get to Acts chapter number 7, and you know that in Acts chapter number 7, we start to see some persecution that takes place, specifically for one whose name was Stephen. Remember, Stephen begins to proclaim some truths that those men did not want to hear. And at the end of Acts chapter number 7, the Bible tells us how they stone Stephen. And Stephen is stoned to death. And so then it leads us to Acts chapter number 8, and all of this is working up to Acts chapter number 11, because in Acts chapter number 8, in verse number 1, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," the death of Stephen. Remember now, Saul was the one who's holding the coats of these men who had stoned Stephen to death. Saul, known as the great persecutor of the church before his glorious conversion that takes place in Acts chapter number 9. But the Bible says in verse 1, and again, you could stay there in chapter 11 if you'd like. I'm just reading verse 1 of chapter 8. "And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem." Remember, this was the church that was formed there in Acts chapter number 2. It says, "And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." If you're looking there at Acts chapter number 8, if not just if you're just listening, but if you're looking in Acts chapter number 8, I'm going to go down to verse number 4. And it says this, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere," and notice what it says they do, "they're preaching the word." So we have the command that God gives, then we have the early church that starts in the city of Jerusalem, and then we have the stoning of Stephen, and this persecution that scatters the disciples from the city of Jerusalem. And these disciples are scattered, but they're proclaiming the gospel everywhere they went. And the reason why they knew how to do that is because they had been discipled. They had been saved. They had trusted Christ as their Savior. And someone came along and discipled them. As a matter of fact, we know that to be true. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1, it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied." Kind of reminds us of the truth that Jesus gives for you and I today. That we are to, as a Christian, we're to reach somebody else. So we go, and as a disciple of the Lord, we go to make disciples, don't we? And that's exactly what's happening here in the early church. We're seeing some discipleship take place. So ultimately, what is this a picture of? This is a picture of the fact that they have followed not only Christ's earthly example, but they also are following his command, aren't they? Because remember the commands that he had given them in the Great Commission. They're to see individuals saved, then they're to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's the discipleship part, isn't it? So we lead somebody to Christ. Then we encourage them to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and then we want to disciple them. We want to see them grow so that then each who reaches one will then have that disciple that goes out and reaches one as well. That's why the disciples are multiplying here. They've followed the earthly example of Jesus Christ, and they followed his commandment as well. And I'm still in Acts chapter number 6. I want to read down at verse number 7 as well, because this gives us a picture of them discipling one another as well. After people are making decisions to trust Christ and they're believing, they're being discipled. So it says in verse 7, "And the word of God," notice what it says, "increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem," and it says, "greatly." So now the number of disciples are multiplying. So they're seeing people believe and then follow the Lord in baptism, and then they're discipling them. They're growing in the Lord. So then when we get to chapter number 9, again, a timeline that's leading us up to Acts 11, chapter number 9 of the book of Acts, we know that this is the conversion of Saul. Remember, he's on his way to Damascus. He's on his way to Damascus with a purpose in mind, isn't he? He's delivering notes that can allow him to be able to persecute Christians even in a greater way. And remember, that light shines and the Lord begins to speak to him and he's gloriously converted, isn't he? And then God has a special calling that he has on the life of Saul. He's to go and he's to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, the great commission and call that God has for the life of Saul, whose name, of course, we know later becomes Paul. So when we get to the latter part of chapter number 9, we see that this church that was established in Jerusalem has now been instrumental in establishing other churches in other cities. Now, why is that? That's because the gospel has spread. See, all of these are the exact things that God wants to do in the life of this local church, doesn't he? He wants us to see his work spread. He wants us to see his work multiplied. That's what God desires of us, doesn't he? As a church here, to send out and then to see other churches started and to see other works being done. And so notice what it says you're in Acts 11. I'll read Acts 9. Acts 9, verse number 31, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost." And then it says, "were multiplied." So churches were established in other cities because the gospel is spreading. And then we get to chapter number 11. And in Acts chapter number 11, and by the way, we're going to come back to Acts chapter number 10 in just a minute as we're moving on in this message. But we get to Acts chapter number 11, and we see a church that is started in a place called Antioch. So in Acts chapter number 11, we get down to verse number 19, and we're going to see a church that is started in Antioch. And in just the short passage that we want to read tonight, really not a whole lot of verses, 7 or 8 verses we're going to read, but we're going to notice as we read through Acts chapter number 11 that God is working as this local church is established. And God is working in the lives of believers who are coming to know him the same way that he wants to work in our church, the same way he wants this church to be help to us in our Christian race. But we want our church to be a help to others as well, don't we? We don't want it to just stay with us. We want this church to help others in our community and throughout the entire world. So let's look at verse number 19 of Acts chapter number 11. We've kind of built up where we're at here in Acts chapter number 11. So verse number 19, and I want us to notice what it says in Acts chapter number 11 and verse 19. And really we can go back to what we've already heard in Acts chapter number 8. When we begin reading in verse 19, notice what it says. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen." Now remember, Stephen was persecuted back in chapter number 7. Stephen was stoned to death. And then remember what I read to you in Acts chapter number 8, that Paul is now the great persecutor of the church. And because of this persecution, all those that were in Jerusalem, they're scattering, aren't they? They're scattering about, and they're going everywhere in different places preaching the Word of God. I want us to notice what happens here in verse number 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the Word to none but unto the Jews only." Now we're going to pause there for just a minute in verse number 19. I want you to notice the first way the Lord is working in the church. He's defeating the enemies of the church that stand in the way. Who were the enemies of the church? Well, those who were persecuting the church. As a result of this persecution, they're spreading abroad. And they're going everywhere preaching the word. So you'll notice there in verse number 19, you'll see that word persecution that's found right in there. So God's at work in the local church because he's defeating the enemies of the church, this persecution that is taking place. So God is overruling the enemies of the church, and he is turning their attack into a blessing. Isn't it amazing how God does that? Has he ever done that in your life? When you've gone through some difficult times, and you waited patiently on the Lord, and you found that when you went through the difficult times of life, God ended up revealing to you how he turned that into a blessing. That's exactly what God does here. He's working in the church. They're going through persecution, but he's overruling their enemies, and Christians are spreading abroad. And by the way, if they would have not followed God's command and God's example way back in Acts chapter number 6, when we talked about them making disciples of one another, this would not have been able to take place. But because they've discipled individuals, and then that disciple has passed their faith on to somebody else, now there are Christians, now there are disciples who are now passing their faith on, and the gospel is spreading abroad. Do you know when we see God's working here in Acts chapter number 11, it reminds us of the fact that when God puts us through the things that he puts us through, we may not always understand his working in our lives. You know, when we go back to Acts chapter number 8, our thought right away might be, well, why is God allowing this persecution? Why is God allowing Saul to come in and persecute the church when they're doing such a great job? They're spreading the gospel and many are being saved, many are being baptized, many are being added to the church. Sometimes we may not understand the things that God puts us through, but he is using those moments of persecution really to enlarge the borders of his church, isn't he? And we're able to see the gospel being spread into other places because of that persecution. That persecution spread them abroad, didn't it? And so God had a way of working. Look at what verse number 20 says. At the end of verse number 19, it says they were preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And you'll notice in verse number 20, and it says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. It doesn't mention these men specifically, their names or who they were. But it says they were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians. Now notice what they're doing. Notice the message that they're preaching. I think this goes right along with what we talked about this morning. If you were here this morning, what do we say we want to preach here? We want to preach Jesus, don't we? We want to preach the cross. We want to preach the word. We want to preach the gospel. Who are they preaching here? They're not preaching about themselves. They're not preaching about some false doctrine. It says in the end of verse number 20, they're preaching the Lord Jesus. So now not only is the gospel spreading to the Jews, but it's also spreading to the Gentiles. Remember I told you just a moment ago that we would go back to Acts chapter number 10, and we won't take the time to turn there. Remember the story in Acts chapter number 10 when Peter is to present the gospel to Cornelius and his family? Remember that? And Peter at first doesn't understand because his thought is the gospel is only made available to the Jews. He was thinking of the Gentile people as being unclean people that did not have opportunity to receive God's grace and the gospel message. But remember, he had that vision, didn't he? And if you add to the beginning of chapter number 11, where we're at even right now in our Bibles in Acts chapter number 11, he has this vision, and at first, those that were in the city of Jerusalem, they didn't understand it. Why does Peter think it's okay to go and to give the gospel out to the Gentiles? Why does he feel it's okay to go to Cornelius' house and present the gospel to him as a Gentile? Remember, Peter explains it to them, though, doesn't he? Look up, you're in chapter 11, so we might as well look up at this. Look at verse number 1. It says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. Now remember, Peter's presented the gospel to Cornelius and his house, and they received the truth of the gospel. Remember Cornelius? Cornelius was a good man, wasn't he? But he wasn't a man that was saved. And so he came to know Jesus as his Savior in his house, and what a transformation took place in his life as a Gentile. And so Peter begins to explain to them what happened. Look at verse number 2. It says, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. They're starting to debate him about this. Why is it that you've gone to the house of a Gentile and presented the gospel to him? Notice what Peter says, verse 3, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. You've gone to individuals that aren't Jewish individuals. Why would you do this? Peter explains, doesn't he? But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. A upon the which when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. So three different times this had happened, Paul says, or Peter says. Verse 11, And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. Remember, the same time that God was speaking to Peter, he was speaking to Cornelius, wasn't he? Revealing what was going to take place. And he says, he had revealed to me that he had seen an angel in his house, verse 13, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I begun to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on me as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now notice this is all drawing to what Peter's trying to tell them, to reveal to them. Look at verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Here's what Peter's saying to him. God's opened my eyes. And he has revealed to me the fact that the gospel is for the Gentiles. And as Peter begins to explain this to them, their eyes are open and they understand the same truth that Peter has had revealed to him. The gospel is available to the Gentiles. And we see here in verse number 19, the gospel is given to the Jews. Verse number 20, spread to the Gentiles as well. But now here's what we want to notice, because we're seeing God working in the church, aren't we? So notice what happens in verse number 21. This verse reveals to us the results. These are the results of being spread abroad because of persecution and getting to the city of Antioch and preaching the gospel. Here are the results. Notice what it says in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Here's what verse 21 is telling us. The hand of God was upon it all, wasn't it? His power was revealing to them. This is a mighty work that God has to show them. Many are saved. God's blessings were revealed to them. Can I say this? God's blessings are revealed to us as well when we choose to obey His commandments. And that's the way that God will work in our church. Our church will be able to see the blessings of God when we choose to obey. And that's when Peter was able to see the blessings of God. That's when the Christians who were scattered abroad and went to Antioch were able to see the blessings of God when they chose to obey the commandments that God had given them to obey. God asks us to do our part, and then He does the blessing, doesn't He? We have to follow the part that He has given us to do. He asked us to do our part, and then He follows with blessings. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 22. The news of this begins to travel, doesn't it? Hey, there's people that are being gloriously saved there in Antioch. The news begins to travel, and it reaches back to Jerusalem. Man, we've got some good news. Jews and Gentiles are coming to know Christ in the city of Antioch there, and there's a church being established. Good things are being done. And notice, they send for some help, don't they? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. The gospel spreading now. And the message is heard there in the church in Jerusalem, and they send Barnabas. By the way, it proved to be a very wise choice to send Barnabas, because Barnabas was known for something, wasn't he? There's a character trait that we see in the life of Barnabas. Barnabas is an encourager, isn't he? As a matter of fact, he has the ministry of encouragement. We see it through the life of Barnabas. And so it was not a mistake to send Barnabas. It proved to be a very good choice to send Barnabas because he encouraged the church, didn't he? Notice what the Bible says in verse 23. I want you to notice just the very first part of verse number 23. Again, as God is working in this church that's being established here in Antioch, look at verse 23, just the very first part of it. It says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God." See, spiritual eyes were able to see spiritual things. The spiritual eyes that God had given to Barnabas were open so that he could be used of God to see spiritual things. That's what Barnabas saw when he got there, didn't he? He saw that there are people that are being saved. This church is now full of believers. Individuals are growing in the Lord. What does the Bible say he saw? Verse 23. He came and he saw the grace of God. He saw God's grace in the lives of these new believers. It wasn't just with their mouth saying they had done something. He is literally seeing God's grace in their life. The spiritual eyes that God had given to him enabled him to see the spiritual things that were happening there in the city of Antioch. And then notice what the Bible says in verse number 23 now as we go on. Remember, we told you that it proved to be a good choice to send Barnabas because Barnabas was known for being an encourager. So the question then would be presented to us, well, how did he encourage them? If he's an encourager, how did he encourage them? Well, look at what the Bible says in the next part of verse number 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, notice the next two words, he was glad. He was glad. He rejoiced at what he saw. He recognized what he saw as a work of God. And he gave thanks for God's grace. Let me ask this for by way of an application in our lives. When you see God's hand and God's power upon something, are you glad? Are you rejoicing? Hey, if somebody were to come to you, they were to say to you before the service started, "Hey, I had a chance to lead somebody to the Lord this week." Would you be glad about that? I mean, would you rejoice in that? That's what's happening here with Barnabas, his ministry of encouragement. He's glad about it. He's rejoicing. Somebody has come to know Christ as their Savior. Corey and I were out visiting for just a few moments yesterday, and we had the chance to at least begin presenting the gospel to someone at their door yesterday. And we didn't get a chance to go through the gospel plan with them, but gave them the gospel track and just praying that they'll receive it. But, you know, when you present the gospel to somebody and somebody receives the Lord as their Savior, whether it be you that led them to the Lord or somebody else perhaps that led them to the Lord, we rejoice, don't we? We're glad in this. And that's what we're seeing. God's working in all of this. Barnabas comes. He notices that God's hand is on this. He's recognizing this is the work of God. He's going to, you know, they're going to send a report back to Jerusalem. Hey, this is good. Things are going great here. God's hand is upon this blessing. But not only does he encourage by rejoicing in what God was doing, but he also encourages the believers that are there. Notice what the Bible says that he does to encourage them in verse 23. It says, "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad," and notice this, "and exhorted them all." He is encouraging them. Notice how he encourages them, the end of verse number 23, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. That word cleave has the idea of cling. Paul says, I'm encouraging you to cling to the Lord. What is Paul emphasizing here? Paul is emphasizing a dedicated heart, a heart that is dedicated to the Lord, that you would cleave to the Lord. Now, Paul is not saying cling to the Lord for assurance of your eternal security with salvation. When God saves you, he keeps you, doesn't he? So we don't have to cling to the Lord as far as salvation is concerned. Once he's given us that, we have it, don't we? But he's referring to a dedicated heart here, isn't he? As a matter of fact, we don't have time to do it, but you could go back to the Old Testament. You could look in the book of Joshua when Joshua gives encouragement there to the people of God, to the Israelites. There's a verse in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 22 and verse number 5. If you look at it later, he gives this little thought to the children of Israel there. He uses the same phrase that we see here in Acts chapter number 11. He's encouraging them to cleave to the Lord. And what he means by that, what Barnabas is trying to encourage them, is he's trying to encourage them to love the Lord, walk in his ways, to obey his word, to serve him wholeheartedly with all your heart. Give all of your heart over to the Lord. So he's using the ministry of encouragement. He's an encouragement. So it proved to be a good decision to send Barnabas. But then look at verse number 24, if you would. Again, God's working in the of those that are in the church here in the city of Antioch. Notice, it doesn't just quickly pass over the life of Barnabas, but instead it gives us a testimony. Barnabas' life in verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Notice the testimony that's given of Barnabas. Would you agree with me that this is the kind of testimony that every Christian would do well to emulate? Every Christian would do well to emulate the testimony that's said here about Barnabas. It calls him a righteous man. He's one that obeys the word of God. He has a word that is above reproach. In the middle of the verse, it tells us that he is filled with the Holy Ghost. By the way, because he was filled with the Holy Ghost, helps us to understand why he is effective in his ministry. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you've put aside self to say, I don't want to be controlled by self, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it will then explain your effectiveness in ministry. You're being used by the Holy Spirit of God. He also is referred to in verse number 24 as a man of faith, isn't he? So he's able to evidence all of this through his ministry, even of encouragement, that he's a righteous man, that he's a man that's full of the Holy Ghost. He's a man of great faith. And then I want us to notice, as we bring this to a close, I want us to notice two results from the work that Barnabas does there in Antioch. Two great results we see. Do you see, first of all, the great result at the end of verse 24? See, we already read it. Notice after we are given the testimony of Barnabas, notice the result of Barnabas' ministry there in the church there in Antioch. Look at what it says at the end of the verse. And much people was added unto the Lord. The church's witness made a great impact upon that city, didn't it? Barnabas and the witness of other disciples that were there. It made a great impact to the point where we see at the end of verse number 24 that many, much people were added unto the Lord. And then if you would, look down if you would at verse number 25. All of this great growth in this church there in Antioch meant they needed more help. And so what does the Bible tell us? That Barnabas goes to find someone, doesn't he? Now, at first, it starts off with believers that go into the city of Antioch. Jews are being saved. Gentiles are being saved. This great church is being established. And then they get Barnabas. Barnabas comes, and Barnabas says, man, this is great. We're seeing individuals added to the Lord and into the church here. And so now he's going to send, and he's going to call for a Saul as well. Now, I want you to notice, we're going to go through this in just a minute. I want you to notice that really we see the humility in both of these guys. We're going to notice some things about their humility. Look at what verse number 25 says. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. He goes and he looks for Saul to bring back Saul to Antioch. You'll notice both of these men, we get to see their humility, because Barnabas didn't need to be the one that was great in the city of Antioch or at the church of Antioch. He realized he needed some help. And he could use the encouragement from somebody else. But then Saul also, we see his humility, because Saul came when he was called, didn't he? He didn't rush and get ahead of it, but instead he came when he was called by Barnabas, and that's exactly what he does. Look at verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now, why is it that he would call for Saul? Why wasn't that he, you know, it could have been that Barnabas could have gone to a place that was much closer to find some help. But remember, we told you we would come back to this in Acts chapter number 9, when Saul was converted he was given that great commission from God that he was going to be a minister to the Gentiles. God was going to use Saul in a great way, even in the place here in Antioch, even in the church of Antioch. So Barnabas, he enlists Saul to help, and he encouraged him when it comes to the service of the Lord. And notice the Bible says in verse number 26, we just read the authority of that verse. You notice they were steadfast about it, weren't they? They assembled together for how long? The verse says a year. They're assembling themselves for a year. They recognized that the things that they were seeing in this church there in Antioch and the things that they were seeing around them were things that were of Christ. This was God's working. This was God's power that was on this place. And so it led people around them to now refer to them with a certain name, didn't it? They now have a certain title. By the way, you and I have this title today, don't we? Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 26. It says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." It didn't take them long to realize that these disciples were like Christ. And they were living for Christ. And so it didn't take them long to look at them and say, "You're like Christ. You're Christians." Think about that title for you and I today. We're Christians, aren't we? Man, we don't want to go away from that title. We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't we? And we want to be like Christ, don't we? We want to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Well, you know the story of the life of Barnabas and Saul later becoming Paul doesn't end there, does it? As a matter of fact, the stories that we see even with the church there in Antioch doesn't even end there. Later on, if you'd find in your Bibles, find it later if you would, but in Acts chapter number 13, the Bible talks about how that the church at Antioch, they send out Paul and Barnabas, don't they? They lay their hands on them, they pray over them, and they send them out. And why do they send them out? They send them out for the purpose of starting churches. And so we see in Acts chapter 13, they're sent out, and then we see in Acts chapter number 14, there's a verse in Acts chapter 14 that helps us to understand that Paul and Barnabas have gone out and they've seen churches that have started as a result of the missionary journeys. And then you get to Acts chapter number 16, and in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 5, again, you see a scripture, you see a verse that talks to us about how the churches are being established by the missionary journeys that Paul is taking part in, that God is calling him to do. And you think about how we started in Acts chapter number 11, and all of this goes back to the way that God was working in the lives of these disciples. It started with the persecution in the city of Jerusalem, and then it spread abroad. Now again, we're talking about God's working. We want Him to work in our church, don't we? And they get to Antioch, and they begin to preach. They begin to see souls that are saved. A church is established there in Antioch, and they're first called Christians there in Antioch. And then eventually, they send out Paul and Barnabas go on these various missionary journeys that Paul goes on for the purpose of starting churches. And then when Paul started those churches, those churches started other churches, didn't they? And we see the work of God in all of this. And that's exactly what we want to see God do in our church. We want to see His work in our local church here, in this local assembly of believers that we have. And it starts with us, doesn't it? It starts with us being willing to find a place where we can let God use us, where we can serve the Lord, where we can give worship to Him while we're here, where we can spread the gospel by taking part in the Great Commission. But then you know it even goes a step further from there. If God would even call somebody from our church to go out and to start or to plant another church, that's how God uses the local church, doesn't He? We see His working here in the church that's established here in Antioch in the great way that God works. Now, we're talking about helps that we have in this Christian race. The Spirit of God is our helper, and the house of God is our helper as well. And I hope throughout the day today we were able to see how the house of God helps us, and then I hope we were able to see how God works through the local church, the same way we want Him to work in our lives and through us today as well. So ask God, what would it be that He would have you to do in the local church? Maybe you're doing right now exactly what God would have for you to do. Maybe there's something else that God would lay on your heart that you need to step up and say, hey, this is something I need to do in the local church to be able to see God's working through this church that He's put me here to serve in. And so let's be faithful to this church that we're a part of. And then let us be able to see God's working in our local church, the local church that is our helper in the Christian race. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes this evening?